We're doing the Sefer HaMidot. We're up to page Kuf Tzadi. The Magid Midumna had said that you can't avoid the truth. The things that make us happy are when we feel something is unusual, when we feel something is special. And he said, I'll prove it to you. Take a period of a person's life. Take that same week of a poor man's life, of a wealthy man's life, you'll find that the poor man can be very happy about all kinds of things. You'll see that the poor man gets happy over things that the wealthy man can't understand why he's so happy. And the reason is because for the poor man, this is unusual. It's unusual for him to have a good meal. It's unusual for him to have a steak. It's unusual for him to be appointed gabbai. It's true, when he stands in the presence of the wealthy man, he stands humbled and respectful, and he stands next to his boss, he stands next to the head of the corporation. When you put one next to the other, suddenly it seems like one's up and one's down. But if you could look at their private lives, you will find that the wealthy man does not have more moments of happiness than the poor man. So if the wealthy man could look into the poor man's life, he would look in and say, why is he so happy over that? I couldn't be this happy unless I had a huge success. If I had something tremendous, then I'd be happy like this. So, says the Magid Midumna, happiness is reflective of how unusual we find certain things to be. So to the wealthy man, all the things that are commonplace for him, they don't make him happy. And for the poor man, when he suddenly has things that are commonplace for the wealthy man, for him, they make him very happy. Velo tachshov etomar, we're on page Kuf Tzadi. Don't think to say, ki ze lehem mitzad shem rekei hadat ta'alei havana. You might think, oh, that's because the poor are stupid. Lo ken advarim, that's not so. Ki ani gam beinav yipalei biroto ha'ashir mitabel al davar katan, kmo im yikabel egeot meish yodo avlo nitsa bo tchilato, tehilato v'shivcho karaui, yimalu panav evra v'zam, evel v'tuga, because just like the wealthy man looks at the poor man and says, why is he so happy because he has fresh bread? Why is he suddenly so happy because they appointed him gabbai in the shul? By the same token, if the poor man could take a looking glass and look into the wealthy man's life, he would also stand there and wonder, how come when that guy gets a letter and they don't call him honorary so-and-so? He gets all upset. I once had one of the children in the hospital, and we had to talk to the head of the department. So I asked one of the attendings, I said, tell me, is she a doctor or is she a professor? Because I don't want to, God forbid, call her doctor if she's really a professor. So the attending smiled and said to me, she's a professor and don't you forget it. If you ever call her doctor and not professor, you're in big trouble. So you're right in asking. So if the poor man could look into the wealthy man's life, and if he could watch a day and see what annoys him, how come they didn't open the door for me? How come they didn't do this? Don't they value me? Don't they respect me? If he could look, if you do the reverse, let him look into his life, he'd also look there and say, what's he getting so upset about? Or if he gets demoted even slightly from where he was, he'll be so embittered, life itself will be a toil for him. He'll lose his appetite. He'll get so upset, he could get sick. For what? For stupidities. And that's when the poor man looks at him and he says, hey, I don't have anything. I don't have 1/1000th of what he still has. I'm not upset. I don't remember where I was. I was standing at some bus station when the stock market collapsed. I think it was in 2008. And I hear two people talking. One's on his cell phone, so I hear one end of the conversation. And one says to the other, did you check your stocks today? And he says, no, I didn't. He says, do you know how much the market fell today? So he says, no, I don't. So he says, how could you walk around like that? I must have lost $2,000 today. And then he says, but I have to tell you, the person I really feel bad for in the world is Bill Gates. I hear he lost $500 million today. Don't you feel bad for the man? $500 million. You're never going to make it. And he lost it just today. So you could hear him joking over there. You know, he's looking at Bill Gates and he's saying, the truth is that we'd all say that if we looked at certain people. Yeah, I told you guys the story about the guy who had $850 million. He was working to get his billion, and then the market crashed. And he lost about $700 million, and he was on the verge of suicide. So you look at it and you say, okay, he's got $150 million left. But he had a nervous breakdown. He had to have people standing next to him to watch him that he doesn't commit suicide. So, you know, it's not funny. To lose $650 million is a lot of money. $700 million. He still knows where his next meal is coming from, right? So that's what the Magen Yedivna says. It's not because one is smarter than the other, because the poor man looks at the wealthy man and says, you know, I never had 1/1000th of his wealth. I never had 1/1000th of what he has left, and I'm not upset. If I'd make half what he made, hayti magen ba'adi mikol etzev. I wouldn't have any reason to be upset in my life. I wouldn't be upset even if I'd lose more than he lost, because I'd be so happy at what I do have. And he already explained that that's not true. That for the first day, for the first week, for the first year, he'd be excited, but over time everyone gets used to it. And then he'd be in the same place as the wealthy man.
It means that he will be used to be in the life of the rich man, to gain all time. And if you lose something, you get $1 if you lose this. You start thinking that you're losing everything.
Right? Right? That's what he's saying. In zot kim kasher amam. So, you look at this and you'll realize that it's the way we said. Ashel zeko choshen minutam tziyut. That what happens is, when something is rare, that's the power of something being rare. That's the power of something being unique. When something bad, but it's uniquely bad, so then, oh, it's terrible. And when you're used to something, so then the greatest thing can be knocked down. And I'll give you the greatest example. Let's go back in time 400 years. You visit someone's house and they tell you, give me a minute, I gotta go fetch wood to turn on a fire. Give me a minute, I gotta go draw water so that we have water for the meal. They turn on the fire, they appoint one of the kids to fan the coals, to stir the coals. They're standing there preparing the food. After the meal, they gotta fetch more water to wash the dishes. And during the meal, they throw a line at you. Imagine a life where you could push a button and have a fire. Imagine a life when you could turn a knob and have running water. You'd say that that's a miracle. That's the Garden of Eden. How could anyone be upset if they have a life like that? Now you want to take a shower. We'll go fetch water. We'll turn on the fire. We'll get more firewood. We'll get hot water. You'll have a bucket of water. You'll be able to stick in the cloth and wipe yourself off with the water. That's what showers were like once upon a time. No one had running water coming down on their head. It didn't happen. You know, you see in halacha, their baths, this way, you know, if you were lucky, you had a tub and you had servants who could fill it and you sat in it. Well, most people's showers consisted of a bucket with water and a sponge and they wiped themselves down. If you were lucky, so then in the summer you could go to a nearby stream. And of course, the stream had other people's feces floating in it because, you know, everyone... That was the sewage. You ate and you drank and you slept and everything was... that was life. Now imagine they tell you could have a bathroom. You don't have to go to an outhouse in the middle of the night. You can push a button and everything gets blown away. You don't have to worry about it.
See how good the yeshiva looks right now?
We won't talk about the miracle of having heating and air conditioning. We have it. If you go back 150 years... What, 150 years? My wife's grandparents tell me in Hungary, when they were growing up, they didn't have running water. There were places in Hungary they did not have running water. They fetched water from the well. My Rebbe, Rav David Feinstein, he should live and be well. He remembers having chicken running around the house. They had chicken in the house. They brought up the chickens in the house. So, you know, it's not that long ago. My grandmother traveled in horse and buggy. So we live a life where we have running water, we have heat, we have air conditioning, but we don't have the latest iPhone. Shucks, life's just not worth living.
So how can everyone so unhappy and so miserable?
Oh, so that's what he answered. He said it's all a question of what you're used to. If it's commonplace, then we don't value it. We're happy with things that we feel are unique. But if everyone else has a fleece sweater, I'm not happy with my fleece sweater. I remember when fleece first came out. I got a fleece sweater. I was so happy. Wow, this is amazing. This is so warm. Today, everyone has one. So do you get excited because you have what everyone else has?
So everyone has a fleece sweater and everyone has running water. Take a look around and people in wheelchairs.
I agree. I agree. I said that this tool that the Magen Yudumna is showing us, we don't have to be bound to the tool. Once we understand it, we could break out of it. We can appreciate it. We could stop and say, look, I'm lucky. I can see. Other people can't see. I can walk. I can talk. I can think. There are a lot of gifts. I was just talking to someone an hour ago about a family where the father has slight retardation. Just slight. You know, right? So he can't get a normal job. So I was discussing with him, how do they manage? Because the kids are Baruch Hashem normal. But financially, they're not. So, we never appreciate the fact that we wake up in the morning, we can walk, we can talk, we're semi-intelligent. No, you guys are very intelligent. But whatever. At any rate, the Magen Yudumna says, this is the power of habit. This is the power of uniqueness. When you're used to something, then if you lose it, you can't understand why you don't have it. You take it for granted when you have it, and it no longer makes a person happy, and it could be the greatest blessings in the world. It doesn't matter. And we said that this could equally be applied to wife and children and health. Everything we have, a guy has a slight toothache, his life is over. Go visit. Go see what other people are going through. So, that was the Magen Yudumna's point, and he's been proving it. That's what the wise king said, peace be upon him. They misprinted here, it should be make your feet precious in your friend's house. Meaning, make them scarce. Let it be something valuable. Because if you're there too long, then he's going to hate you. Ki gam mishpat ha'adam ken hu, gam ha'chashuv b'enei avo. That's the way people are too. Even if someone loves you and respects you and values you, im yemugal etzlo v'yimatzel lefanav b'tmidut, if you're always there, if you become a nudnik, yered mima'alato etzlo avo. Then suddenly, you're not as valued in his eyes. That's the way it goes. And this is a mistake people make. Ben hazmanim, you have off. They invite you to come. They say, stay overnight. Stay another day. Stay, come on, everything's great. We have a rule. When I was a magician, they taught me the following rule. Always stop the show when they're asking for more. Never leave them at a point where they say, enough, enough. I use the same rule. I try to apply the same rule in speeches. Stop the speech when they say, why'd you talk so short? You never want them to say, why'd you talk so long? Always be a little shorter than they'd want you to be. So, that's the same, it's all the same idea. Once we get used to something, it could be the greatest speaker. At some point, I've had it. And on that note, to be continued.